We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Verse 11, chapter 2 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And the word of God says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the Lord, by the blood of Christ." Amen. That shouting part right there. Amen. For a few moments, let's just talk about changed through the blood. Changed through the blood. Changed through the blood. Changed through the blood. Good to see Sister Ivy. Look at Sister Ivy. Amen. Look at her. She's just looking good. Looking just so lovely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Change through the blood. Change through the blood. Look, let me just make it perfectly clear. You cannot, I cannot, we cannot change ourselves. Regardless of how we try, whatever we attempt to do, look, you can get all the self-help books you want. Listen to Oprah, Dr. Phil, Montel. Oh, now they listen to Steve Harvey. You know, they want to be a lady and think like a man, or however it goes, you know. But you cannot, I cannot, we cannot change ourselves and be everything that God desires us to be. There's another agent, another work that goes on, that needs to go on in our lives in order for us to be where he desires us to be, the way he desires us to be. Truth be told, we all need Jesus. Make no bones about it. We need him. We cannot be or do anything without him. And so this is really what Paul has been getting at in these first two chapters of Ephesians. As he speaks to the church in Ephesus, he speaks and helps them to understand that they need the work of Christ in their lives. And even more clearly, he wants them to understand that it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that they are new and different. Now remember, chapter 2 begins while he speaks of the nature of the church in Ephesus. It talks about how they were, I said it last week, let me just say it again, they were just jacked up. Speaks to them clearly and makes them to know that they were walking under the auspices of the devil. So, he comes along in verses 4 through 11 and helps them to understand that even though their lives were messed up, He says, but God demonstrated his love towards them in spite of who they were. You know, that's good news right there. In spite of the mistakes they made, in spite of the lives they lived, God demonstrated his love so that they might get what he calls a gift. And what is this gift? He asking. This gift is salvation. God displays his grace towards them and his love. And so he says here in verse 11, he picks up again. He says to them, you were jacked up, but God stepped in. And he said, but I don't want you to get beside yourself. He says, remember, you were a Gentile. He says, remember, you were in the time past, you were a Gentile in, watch this, the flesh. Don't miss that. He says, you were a Gentile. He says, you were not a part of the Israel family. You were not a Jew. You were different physically. You were not one of the chosen people. As a matter of fact, it is in this text that he helps us to understand that the church, that's right, Layla, it is in this text that he helps us to understand that these people were outcasts. He says they were outcasts, but they were changed through the blood of Jesus. Look, he said they were outcasts, and he's getting to something here. They were outcasts, not by God, but they were outcasts by the Jews. See it? Don't read the Bible too fast. He said, remember, ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. He was getting at something. He wasn't putting them down. He was really helping them to understand that God had done a great work in their lives. Remember in the verse, I think it was verse 10, he'd already said, you are a workmanship created in Christ unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in. He says, so remember, even though you were a Gentile, you are God's children. And he points to them and helps them to understand. Don't let the being pushed aside and ostracized by the Jews get next to you. He's almost pointing back and says, you know, just don't even worry about what the Jews are saying about you. He said, you are called uncircumcision by those who are circumcised. He says, look, matter of fact, this term uncircumcision, it really is a derogatory term. He says that the Jews were looking, they were proud and puffed up about themselves because they had gone through the process of circumcision. So they looked down everybody else who did not go through this ritual and this rite. And they would sneer and jeer and make mockery of them and say, you ain't a part of this group because you've not performed this ceremony. You can't be saved. You ain't God's people. And notice what Paul says. Paul says that it is by in the flesh. He's pointing to them and said that this characteristic or this particular right, this tradition, this, yes, though it was something that was implemented by God, it has become something by the Jews that has become, you know, a moment of concession and looking down on other folk. They should have been a channel by which others would know God, but instead they became conceited folk, alienating themselves and pushing folk away because they didn't look like them. So this word uncircumcision is a bad word. It's really a put down. It's equivalent to the N-word y'all use. Look, let me show you how it was. You look, David, you remember when David was talking about Goliath and he got mad and said, "Who is this uncircumcised?" He was haughty mad. He went off. And so the connotation was one of mockery and evilness. It had gone from a display of joy of being chosen by God to a point where it was a put down for others who had not been a part of the Jews. So Paul makes it clear. He says, literally, he says, really, they don't have much to brag about. He says, you're outcast because you didn't go through the formality. But he says, through and through, really, they're outcast to themselves because they've only gone through formality and don't live the life they ought live. They just want to show up and be a display, but and want folk to look at them and look on the outside and look at what they perform, but their heart is not right. So it is, he says, and that's why he says, in the flesh made by hands. Because later on, he begins to speak and says that it is not through the circumcision of the body, but it is the circumcision of the heart. But our heart is changed. So it is, he helps them to understand, though you are outcast, don't let that get you down. And you know what? I stopped by here on my way to New Jerusalem to help somebody. I want to tell you today that, look, we ought not be so hard on these folk in Ephesus because of the Jews, because you know what? Some of us act the same way even today. We think that if you're going to be saved and you're a Christian, you ought to look a certain way, dress a certain way. Look, I saw when folk came into church today, they gave me up and down. And they, look, you ought to dress a certain way, look a certain way. Come on. If you say, you will look like this, you will talk like this. Look, you'll live like this and so forth. But look, can I help you to understand that salvation has very little to do with how you look? And it don't have nothing to do with how you dress. Got nothing to do with the physical. It has everything to do with the spiritual. What does your heart look like? Look, y'all, let me just tell you, I've seen some beautiful folk. I've seen some beautiful women. Now, I've seen some handsome men. I'm just. But, oh! They had some ugly attitudes. Y'all wasn't ready for this morning, was you? Look, so the Jews had missed the mark. They missed the whole thing. They were looking down. Look, matter of fact, let me just tell you how bad the Jews were. Look, that you know how they would do from the you know the Israel when it divided into the north and the south. They would when they would go from the southern region of Israel to the northern region.
Yes, sir.
There's this little city that sat in the center.
Yes, sir.
Called Samaria.
And
in Samaria were the Samaritans who were not necessarily thought of being true Jews. And they would do things like this. As they were going up, they would walk all the way around Samaria to get up to the northern region. And if they even stepped any part of any area of Samaria, they had a ritual whereby they would, you know, make sure they knocked the dust off their feet because they didn't want to have anything to do with people who were not like them. But Jesus said it like this. He said, this is what he said. He said, I must need go through Samaria. Because he understood and he wanted us to understand when his blood there is no difference in those who are his children. So we still in the 21st century have this Jewish attitude. We walk around people to get where we want to get. Because they don't look like us. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. And so they were outcasts. And he wanted them to understand not to feel bad about their background. Don't feel bad about where you were and what you were. He said, because Christ has made a difference for you through his blood. Look, one day a violinist was hurling insults at and in disagreement with the conductor of an orchestra. And after a moment of silence, the conductor began to say, he said, look, the people didn't come here to hear either of us. They came to hear Beethoven. Come here. People don't come to see us. They come to see Jesus. And every believer, every Christian ought be at a point where we say, look, it ain't about me. It's everything about Jesus. Is this making sense? Salvation is not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Christ. It's not about your outward appearance. It's about Christ. I've been there too long. Look, they were outcasts, but they were also Christless. They were outcast, but they were also Christless. And he speaks to them and helps them to understand that at one point they were without Christ. Yes, they were not a part of. Matter of fact, he says in verse 12, he says that at that time ye were without Christ. Then he says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, at one time you were hopeless and without Christ. And look, you were estranged from God. And he said, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You didn't know their rituals. You didn't understand. You didn't hear about the coming of the Messiah. You had no knowledge. And you were unfamiliar with the promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
But he says, look, Christ has opened the door for you where you don't have to be a Jew to get Jesus. All you got to do is just be open to Jesus. Matter of fact, he really was pointing at the fact that there were those so-called Judaizers who were saying the only way you can become a Christian, yeah, we know that he died on the cross and he did all of that, but the only way you can be a whole Christian is if you can quote all of the Torah. If you go and you get instead of getting baptized, you know, they didn't say, hey, who want to be baptized? They say, come on, line up for circumcision. He says, look, you don't have to go through all of that. Now he says, Christ has opened the door. Because Christ has come and because he's died, you have access to God. Our access does not come from memorizing scriptures. Can I just say this and y'all don't get mad at me? It's going to be some scripture memorizing folk putting logs on the great fire. So scripture memorizing doesn't get you access to him. No. Because you carry a big old Bible under your arm, that does not get you access. No. Because you wear a suit and tie, Stacy Adams shoes, Gators, Benucci suits, Donna Carroll, whatever it is, it does not get you access. So the only thing that gets you access is the blood of Jesus. Hear me well. Don't let folk fool you. Don't let folk fool you and try to make you believe that, you know, you ain't saved if you can't, you know, if you can't say words that don't make sense. don't let folk fool you and tell you the only way you saved is if you dance around the church and. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Look, y'all. It's my responsibility as pastor to make sure you know the truth. Because truth be told, there are some fellas that are just delivering junk. And not, I forgot, we're on the radio. Okay, all right. The only way to Christ. The only way to God, the only way, the only access is through Christ. Amen. You got to know him as your personal Savior. That there is no salvation but through Jesus Christ. You don't have to look like everybody else, but you do need to be saved. You don't have to sing like everybody else, but you do need to be saved. You don't have to have the two-step like everybody else, but you do need to be saved. You don't have to dress like everybody, but you do need to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. So he says that, but then I've been there too long. I'm closing it now. But now in Christ, verse 13, Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh
by the blood of Christ.
He says you were far. You were estranged. You didn't know him. There was a gulf between you. You were disconnected. But through the blood of Jesus. Oh, you ought to be able to thank God for his blood. Look, it was not because of any works, any formula that you came up with, not because of, how it was because of the blood of Jesus that we are now connected to the family of God. We are connected through his blood. And his blood alone. Can I just be honest with you? Without Christ in our lives, we cannot be all that God desires us to be. I want to make this appeal to you today. I asked a sobering question on last Sunday, were you saved? But let me make this appeal to you today. Get saved. If you ain't saved. No. I didn't say get baptized. Because baptism is, watch this, it is an outward showing of your commitment to Christ. And it's a symbol. It is a symbol that you acknowledge him as Savior. And there are those of us who believe that, just because we get in the water, we become saved. But that's not the salvation process. Big Mama say you can go down a dry devil and come back up. Oh, wet. Y'all knew Big Mama. A wet devil. Salvation comes through knowing Christ as our personal Savior. Believing him, accepting him, accepting his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's all Paul was trying to tell them at Ephesus. He said, look, you ain't got to go through all the rituals and the shenanigans. You don't have to go through all of that. All you've got to do is know Jesus as your Savior. He's done the work for you and for me. Oh, yeah. What did he do, White? I hear you. What he did was he died out on Calvary. They stretched him wide. They hung him high. They pierced him in the side. They riveted his feet. And the Bible says he died. Yes, he did. The blood came streaming down. And he died, yes he did, for your sins and for mine. But can I tell you today that that's not the end of the story. Wow, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there, night Friday. And all day Saturday. All night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Can I tell you today, he got up with wonder-working power. He got up with power to make you walk right. He got up with power to make you talk right. He got up with power to make you live right. And I'm glad so glad. Anybody here glad? Y'all gonna make me work, aren't you? Ah, yes, I'm glad to serve a Savior like that. Why is that wind? Because I know He lives. Don't He live in your soul? Don't He live in your life? His blood changed me. His blood washed me. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Yeah! Yeah! Ah, yeah! He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me that I am His own. Anybody here right now can say the Lord is still working in your life? Has He made a way out of no way at all? Say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh!